So just going to show you never know what's going to set off the phones, set off the texts. Your little story about L.L. Bean boots.
Yeah.
Set off a flurry of activity on our text line, 312-981-7200. Oh, no, just positive people saying. Apparently, they have stores in South Barrington and Old Orchard.
Okay, cool.
Those are the L.L. Bean stores because we were asking where are the other stores. But people are just saying how much they love these boots.
Well,
I guess that's why they're the point of your story, that they're going to go into production and hire more people and so forth. Because these boots are so popular.
Yes, trying to meet demand with supply here. 110,000 square foot building. They're installing more molding machines to manufacture the rubber soles, hiring 100 more workers. They expect to top 700,000 in sales next year and maybe 1 million in 2018.
Yeah, these boots they're like rubber soled up to the rubber goes almost up to your ankle. So, you know, perfect for winter time.
Mm-hmm.
But these are classic kind of boots. I can see why people are going crazy for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got all kinds of sales on them right now.
Online sales as well.
Yeah. Kind of tie in with everything else. They're made in Maine. Stitch by stitch, one pair at a time, Schwani.
Wow.
With pride, patience, and practiced hands. That's what it says.
Is that what it says?
About the LL
on their official website.
Bean boots. They are cool-looking boots. I actually have a pair like this.
Do you really?
Yeah.
They've been around forever, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
I guess I'm going to have to get with the program.
Get with the kids. All us kids are wearing them.
I still have mine from fourth grade.
All of us young kids
with
are wearing
the big buckles
on. The galoshes, yes. Schwani wears the galoshes with the big buckles on. But all kinds of sales. I mean, and this is very typical of what you're seeing. I mean, they've got,
I'm looking at them now.
Percentage off, and there's a promo code, and, you know, everybody's trying to, you know, get some money flowing on the internet, not only with this, but, you know, just about everything is. Now, the Adobe story that we've been talking about this morning. What was the original Adobe story, Schwani, that you had?
Because
they were tracking.
They were tracking
the
online
Black Friday sales and who was purchasing what.
They
and
were tracking
when I went into my
sales.
Kitchen and
Adobe, which tracks online retail transactions, says people spent $3.34 billion shopping online Friday. That's a 21% increase from last year. But Adobe, the firm, is the person we've been talking about tracking online retail transactions, wherever they may occur.
Right. And we, I brought up that, you know, when you say you're tracking purchases, it sounds like you know what I'm buying. You know, it sounds like there may be privacy issues. So we just wanted to get it cleared up. So we went right to the Adobe company, Adobe Digital Insights. Tamara Gaffney is leading a team of analysts with this company that provide the marketers with the research and the insights that they collect through their Adobe Digital Marketing Cloud. Tamara, does that sound all accurate to describe what you do?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And good morning and happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Thank you for joining us. And just to clear this up, because people are so scared now, credit card fraud and, anything that can happen with their credit cards these days. So explain how you do your marketing. You're not gathering anything from the consumer end. I mean, if I'm making purchases online, are you tracking me personally, or are you tracking it on the other end of it?
Yeah, no, we're definitely not tracking you personally. Everything we're tracking is totally anonymous. In fact, sometimes people ask me, well, what are men buying and what are women buying? And I say, I don't know, because we don't know who people are. What we're doing is, with this Adobe Marketing Cloud, most people don't realize that all the websites that you're going to have to be powered by technology. And Adobe, as you might know for Photoshop or for Acrobat PDF.
Yeah, that's how I know Adobe, yeah.
Yeah, right. So most people don't know that we're powering most of the web with all of this technology in the marketing cloud. And so we have an opportunity to aggregate findings and present an overview, kind of like I describe looking at the Earth from space and being a weather person and telling the, you know, the satellite picture. That's kind of the level of detail I have.
So how do you make the determinations then in saying that, you know, televisions are going to be a popular items? You know, these were selling, you know, people were happy with this or happy with that. How do you make some pretty specific proclamations?
Well, I certainly don't know if they're happy. I assume they're happy, but what I do is my team, actually, we're just a bunch of data scientists and geeks, really, nerds, and we run a think tank inside of Adobe that allows us to use what we call a Sensei Intelligence Engine, which is an Adobe thing, and we take all this information and put it into predictive models, which is not so easy, really, but when we've done this now for 4 years, we're able to go into greater and greater detail. So we're actually at this point able to do what we call the digital price index on top of all the data you're seeing from us today. Every month, we're putting out a digital price index, and we're starting to hear from, you know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. We're starting to hear from the Office of National Statistics, you know, hey, how are you measuring this economy from this perspective? And it's only about, I think, 30% of all the spending, so it's not really everything, but it helps us to understand what's going on, and it's really quick. We can put information out, as you can see, in great detail and also very quickly right after an event happens.
So what were some of your findings then for Black Friday?
Black Friday really blew us away. We were tracking Black Friday up through 5 p.m. Eastern time, and it looked like it was right on our prediction. We had predicted $3.05 billion. So it was going to be the first ever Black Friday to break the $3 billion mark, and that was going to be historic. And then we started seeing the rates, we call them a conversion rate. That's the number of times people press the buy button after they've put something in a cart. And we started seeing that climbing and climbing and climbing. And we thought, my goodness, what's going on? It looked like what happened was the retailers gave a whole bunch more emails out to the market. And consumers started buying at much greater rates than we had seen earlier in the day. So we closed the day at $3.34 billion, which was up 21.6% versus last year, and became the largest online shopping day of all time. So so that was just enormous change from, you know, plodding along at a really good pace, but all of a sudden just hitting the go button in the evening hours.
So that then is how you're able to see what people are purchasing. They make their online purchase, they hit the buy button, and you're measuring what the buy button is, and you're able to see what kind of product it is and how much money was spent and so forth?
Yes, and that requires us to figure out how to aggregate 55 million SKUs.
I don't know.
Not a small amount.
Wait, explain what that means, to aggregate 55 million SKUs.
So a stock keeping unit or a SKU is basically a product. Something that you would buy, a unique product, is kept as some sort of number. And we have those numbers, and we know what products they are. And so when people buy those products, we go in and look to see how much they spent, how much they bought. We don't know who bought it. All we know is that it was purchased. And then we go and take all the billions of transactions that we're measuring and aggregate that into these pricing discount numbers and the total revenue numbers and all of that stuff.
So that's the number, you're talking about the number that's on the barcode that's on virtually every product that there is now. You're able to keep track of how it's all being trafficked.
That's right. And that's because of the Adobe Marketing Cloud is doing that for the retailers.
Okay, all right. So what kind of effect will all of this have then on you know, going into a store and actually buying something if the online shopping is through the roof, as your research is indicating?
Well, I'm really not sure how the online will take away or just be additive to the in-store shopping. We're going to have to see what other folks who measure in-store shopping tell us. But what I've seen over the course of time is that most of the online shopping is coming from people who've decided not to go in-store anymore. And when we ask them why, it first was because they felt they could get lower prices online than in-store. But then this year, more people were saying, I want convenience. I don't want to have to go drive. I want free shipping. I want the things that make my life easy for this holiday season. And many more people believe that shopping online is just more simple.
Yeah. Is that to say that people think, have the feeling that things are safe online, that cyber shopping is at an all-time high in terms of safety of their accounts and their personal finance records?
Well, we didn't ask if people thought that they felt more safe, but we do see that they're going online, and that would imply that they must feel more safe. And I think also when you see all the different news reports that come out regarding security, most people haven't really felt much of an impact to themselves. So I think that that's not the issue it used to be online. The main thing is that everybody now has a mobile phone, and you can shop whenever, wherever. We saw on Black Friday, mobile shopping hit also a historic high. It broke the $1 billion mark just out of mobile devices at $1.2 billion, and that was 33% up from the year before. So
yeah, it really
seems like the convenience is a thing.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the ultimate impulse shop, isn't it? You think, oh, I want to get this for Uncle Jimmy, and you don't even have to go to a store or wait till you get home to get on your computer. You just pick up your phone and see who's selling it and compare prices, and boom, 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 it's all done.
Right. You don't have to even create a gift list anymore, because as soon as you think of the right gift for someone, you can just go buy it.
Yeah, exactly. I know you have to run, but I just want to ask you, what do you think consumers should do to protect cyber safety? Since you guys are monitoring all this, I mean, you are, are keeping an eye on all of it. What's the number one thing you would advise consumers to do to make sure that all cyber shopping is as safe as possible?
Well, I'm not a cybersecurity expert by any means, so I will probably not be able to answer that question well. I can tell you that for the most part, people are really comfortable with going online. They're going online in droves, and they're finding better, bigger discounts this year than they were last year. So right now, I think that is not on top of anyone's mind.
Okay. I think it's on top of some people's minds. Cybersecurity is on top of some people's minds, for sure. I appreciate you taking some time to join us. Tamara Gaffney with Adobe Digital Insights. Have a great holiday, Tamara. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Have a great day. So let me put the question to you out there then. What do you think are the number one concerns to protect your cyber security? What are the things that you do to protect, to make sure, if you're doing online shopping, what are the do's and don'ts as far as you're concerned? I think it very much is very top of mind for people. 11:25, Dean Richards Sunday Morning, talking cyber security. If you're doing any online shopping, what are your do's and don'ts? Marcus, hello, you're on WGN.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, thank you.
Thanks. So I don't know how she figures that that's not on the top of everybody's mind. I agree with you. I think it is. And to the point, my wife and I actually have been, abused so much using our credit cards that we now get one of those prepaid cards, like a green dot. We put the money on, and then we charge. So that way they can't, pull money off, because it's only you only put enough on to use for whatever purpose.
Yeah, there's only a certain amount of money that's available, so it can't it can't go beyond whatever it is that you put into it in the first place. Although if somebody scams it, though, let's say you put $500 into it, if somebody is somehow able to scam that card, they can get whatever your balance is, though, probably, right?
I'm not quite sure. They probably can, but I'd rather them get a little bit of that than my entire.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I've had scams on my credit card three times this year, each time it's because I've set up alerts on my credit cards that if purchases are made over a certain amount of money, which I keep the limits kind of low, that they contact me and let me know, did you make a purchase of X number of dollars, And then I can tell them, yeah, don't worry about it. It was me. Or here we go again. Let's reset everything again. The card's been scanned again.
You know, and at times it seems like a pain when they do that, but it's actually, you know, for our benefit. And I think people don't realize it might not be on the top of their mind until it happens. Once it happens, then it becomes a great issue.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think it is. I think if anyone's doing online shopping, if you're not worried about that your card may be copied somehow, it's not just your credit card, you know, that particular account. They can get access to all of your financial information from some of these things because your Social Security number is attached to all these things as well. Marcus, sounds like, yeah, we're going into a bad cell zone here, but thank you very much for the call. Here are some texts. The 815 area code says, if they don't like my PayPal account, I guess they don't like my business. That's very much like what Marcus was talking about, where it's a controlled amount of money. I mean, you control the account better than a regular credit card that can be open. And if it's phished or scammed or whatever the names are of the credit card fraud that takes place, it is really can limit it. Here's another one that says, I don't use my real email address. I make one up for online shopping. Not sure what. I mean, what is that? I wish you had called in with that because I don't get how that protects your credit. It protects your email from getting a lot of junk email.
Well, what if you store a lot of your important business information in your email account?
And then somebody gets into your email and are able to access all the rest. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I get that. Maybe not a good idea, by the way, to be storing all that information on your email account. Cause that's easily, stealable, right? I mean,
I would think that emails are pretty easy to be hacked, especially if you've had the same one for a long time.
Email addresses are about the easiest thing to get into. Here's another, the 815 area code. Stick with reputable companies that you've dealt with before. I've been doing this and I have never had a problem. For me, it's the only way to shop. All right. Well,
although you know what? I ordered less than $20 worth of plants from a reputable nursery one time. Yeah. And that's how my account got hacked.
That's how you got hacked.
Yeah. It was one $20 order to a company that's been around for a long time.
Yeah. I think that you have to be careful where you use your card. A lot of times it has nothing to do with the company. It can be in the process. It's in the processing of the information more than the company itself, where a lot of that happens. And you just have to be very vigilant. I think it was Schwani. Somebody said that he checks his account just about every day to make sure that there aren't fraudulent debits.
But they move so fast because when they hacked mine, they stole $9,000 worth of. They made that many purchases in such a quick time. Luckily, my bank called me immediately and said, you don't use this card a lot. And all of a sudden, and I mean, boom, boom, boom. They $9,000 just like that.
Yeah. Were you liable for any of that?
No, did not have to pay it.
That's the good thing about it. That's how it's been with my three times that my card was hacked. All three times there were charges and they were significant. But the credit card company said, don't worry about it. We know it's not you. So anyway, just, be careful. That's going to be the moral of this story.